4. We'll read several verses there, and then we'll go to the message in James chapter 1. Matthew chapter 4 and start in verse 5. I'll probably deal with this down the road, but this morning we're going to use it in contrast. So if you are listening and you have ears to hear, you're going to contrast this with James. It's a very specific idea. Verse chapter 4 of Matthew and verse 5. Let's stand, please. This is still in the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, "Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down." And Satan quotes some scripture too. "For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said unto him, he didn't try to outquote him with scripture. He got to the heart of the matter. Thou shalt not what? Or test or try, same words, thou shalt not tempt, test, or try the Lord thy God. James chapter 1, please. I decided to go back and we'll look at least this week on this subject of the introduction to this, James chapter 1, and we'll just start in verse 1 for the context. But what I want you to remember is this. The Lord Jesus was taken up, whether literally or in a vision, makes no difference. And he was said, hey, jump off of here. God will take care of you. And his response was, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So there is a sense that you can bring trials upon your own head. Amen? But this is not what James is talking about. I'm going to spend the introduction talking about that. The King James does a very nice way of translating this in verse 1, well, in verse 2. But let's read verse 1 just for the beginning. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes, King James says, appropriately, which are scattered abroad, which are in the diaspora, have been dispersed. That's a very technical term for Jewish people. Jews in the diaspora, meaning not in the promised land. Greeting. My brethren, count it all joy, and listen to this language, when you what? That is not the same as coming up to this edge of a building and jumping off and saying, now God, take care of me. When you fall into divers, or not only means many, but it means different kinds, both at the same time. When you fall into many different kinds of temptations, trials, or test. Same words. So he begins by saying, count it all joy. Verse 3, he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, produces patience or endurance. But let or allow patience, endurance, to have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, mature is the idea probably, and entire, wanting nothing. If any man, and this is the same Greek word, lack or want wisdom, not want like you desire it, but that you need it. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, meaning God's not going to rebuke you when you're seeking wisdom in the midst of your trials, and it shall be given him. For time, we're going to stop there. There's a lot of other material that needs to be covered after this. I'm going to speak on what to do when you fall into trials, tests, and temptations. All the same word. Trials, tests, temptations. What do you do? Now, friend, if you've read the text, it's very clear that it commands certain things of you. One is count. We'll talk about that. The other is know. Another is let or allow. And another is, if you lack wisdom, pray, ask. Those are the steps. And by the way, they're in an order that you can't reverse. You're going to have to start at the beginning. And I'm going to make this fun, I hope, even funny. But don't laugh at jokes and not get the point. Where'd Sam Stimke go? Where are you at, Sam? You have to sit at the same place every week. Have I not told you that? Just joking. Sam asked me a question right between Sunday school and church. Have there been a lot of people die around here lately? And here's the thing, Sam. I'm going to say what I said to you earlier. No, it comes and goes. Sometimes we don't have anybody die for 2 or 3 or 4 years, and then all of a sudden you get a whole group of them. But more importantly, for every person that dies, people go through trials and they're unprepared. Because death of a loved one is just one more trial. Are you prepared? And the point of this morning is getting prepared. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can look at the Word of God and understand some very beautiful truths. Truths that can somehow get away from us, especially the first one. Help me to be able to make this very clear and powerful this morning. And may your people that have ears to hear and desires to obey hear this morning. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Two years ago, it was about this time of the year. It might have been December, I don't know. I was doing my good, obedient husband duties. In our house, I don't know about your house, but in our house, we divide the work that's done around the house. We do. What are you laughing at, Amy? I didn't say we divided it fairly. I said we divided it. Don't get ahead of me. Years ago, we had a thing here, and it was funny because I remember when I was asked, how much of the work around the house do you do and how much does your wife do? And I said, I might do 5%, and she does 95%. And everybody thought, oh, my, that's impossible. So my wife comes out, and guess what she says? Did you give me 10%? She was being nice. Well, I think, by the way, just so you know, I have moved somewhere between 5. I'm up to about 7 now, just so you know. But I was being a good, obedient husband, and I was taking the trash out. And if I don't take the trash out, my wife doesn't like me at all. So I took the trash out that night. I walked out to the garage, had the door open. We have 2 bins. You know, one holds the recycle, one holds the trash. And pulled them out, closed the garage door, and I put them behind me. You know how you put them on the, you know, pull them up on their wheels, and I was doing this. Everything was going good. I wasn't really, it was like this kind of weather, 20s. Wasn't thinking, walked down my driveway, hit some black ice. Now, folks, everybody in here has taken a spill or two, but I had a hold of these things and my foot, both of them started to skid, you know, and I was trying to catch myself, and then I thought, I'll lean back on the trash cans and that will help me catch myself. I am not going to demonstrate what happened to me. I'm going to explain. As I leaned back, what ended up happening was the dumb thing just went backwards. And my feet are flat on the floor, and I fall flat back in my... You know how this happens? When you get your knees up like this, and you're... I can't even do it up here. All I know, I end up on my back with my knees up under me and my feet flat. And my first thought is, I have destroyed some knees. My second thought was, I'll call for Jenny. My third thought was, why would I call for Jenny? She can't pick me up. I need to call for a tractor trailer with a winch on it. Then I thought, I've got to get up because it's starting to get cold on my back. Now, friend, what you say, what happened from that? But God was very good. Even though my feet were, can you imagine, flat, and they're pulled all the way up, and this is back like this, and it starts to get cold, and I think, I got to get up. So I let go of those things, I roll over, I stand up, and I have done nothing to my knees. Now I'm going to tell you this. You know why I just told that story? That's what it means, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various kinds of trials and temptations. Was I planning on that night? By the way, write this down. Wake up and do something for me. The verb, parapipto, the word for fall, is found exactly three times in the New Testament. Once here. Some of you will be familiar with the first one. You might want to write this down because it explains what it means to fall into temptations. Another one is in Luke chapter 10, verse 30, when Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. And this is the language. Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. Do you think he planned on robbers robbing him? So look at me. Whatever we say this morning, friend, we're not saying this. We're not saying, go be stupid, and then God will deliver you. No, this is what happens, Sam. Stuff happens. People that you love die. People get sick. People get hurt. People lose jobs. Lots of stuff happens, and you fall in among, metaphorically, the thieves. It's also found in Acts chapter 27, verse 41. Only found three times. It says, in falling into a place where the two seas came together. So they were on that ship, and they came to a place where, you know, they're in islands where the two seas came together, which was very rough, and that ended up destroying the ship. That's the only three places, and all three places are talking about what? Look at me. They're not talking about someone that says, you know, I'm just going to step off this cliff and see if God saves me. No, this is talking about falling into trials and temptations. And they come. They come quite often. So my question this morning, and what we're going to do from the text is answering, is what do you do when you fall into trials, temptations, and tests? That's where I want us to go. So look, if you would, back to chapter 1, verse 2 of James. Here is his introduction. This is the first step, so to speak. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into these divers, meaning many and different kinds of trials, temptations, and tests. Count it all joy. I'm going to use other language to explain this. I think this is where we begin. This is God's counsel to us when we fall into trials, temptations, and tests. Number one, we must see things differently. When he says to count, he's not talking about count one, two, three. He's using a word that means to think about, or how about this? Conceptualize. Conceptualize this as joy. Recognize this as joy. Visualize this as joy. So I think we begin here. We must see things differently. Actually, this is where it always comes down to. Are problems good or bad? A Christian realizes, hear me, when you fall into something, you didn't fall into something. God must have something to do with that. Therefore, a Christian is able to step back and look at things and see things differently. We're able to see joy, not just joy, all joy. We see things differently. We conceptualize things differently. We recognize things differently. We visualize things differently. Now, I said all of that, but that won't help you, but this will. A couple of you. What is it? What is it? No, it's not. What is this? Now, folks, when I see this, my eyes get big, and I immediately start thinking, French fries, mashed potatoes, baked potatoes, twice baked potatoes, cheese potatoes, wedges, boiled potatoes. And my absolute favorite, and I'm sorry if you've never experienced it. And when we had potatoes as a child, my mother didn't make a little bowl of potatoes. She made a huge thing. And if there was ever leftover mashed potatoes, the next morning, I'm getting hungry just thinking about it. My mother took those mashed potatoes, you'd put some flour in it, maybe an egg, you mix it up, you put it on a griddle, and you make potato pancakes. And at that point, you have now entered heaven. Look at me. When I see a potato, that's what I see. Some of you say this is rice. This is not rice. Right on there, it tells you what it is. This is rice to dry out electronics. So when I see rice, you know what I see rice good for? Drying out electronics, folks. That's the only purpose I can think of. But every Filipino, by the way, Filipinos don't like rice. No, they don't. When they, look, come on. When you see this, you don't see rice. You see rice and adobo, or rice and manok, or rice in those little dilly fish, or rice in it, yes? By the way, it's all according to what? How you see it. Do you realize trials are the same? You know, some people have been so-called saved their whole life, and every time they stub their finger, you think the world has stopped. Friend, when I see this, I'm sorry, I don't think, oh, Jenny, you need to make me some rice. Say, can you eat rice? Folks, I eat rice in the Philippines. I can eat rice. But I have learned that Filipinos don't like rice either. It's rice and. Hello? Oh, spam. See, there you go. No, spicy spam. Mmm. Now I can eat some rice. You put some spicy spam in there. You put some eggs in there. Cliffy, you haven't made me in a while, so I don't like you. Mmm, potatoes. Isn't it? By the way, when my daughter-in-law first, she's a poor girl from Philly. Her family's Italian. They're not from Philly. That's right. I had people in the Navy from Philly. She's from Jersey. They don't even call pizza pizza. They call it a pie. No, a pie is like pumpkin pie, apple pie. Can I ask you a question? Do you know what the first thing you have to learn is? We must see things differently. James is saying, count it all joy. And your first thought is, oh my goodness, why am I going through a problem? My toe hurts. Because we're seeing things like unsaved people see things. We cannot get outside of where we're at. But James says, by the way, would you read with me verse 2? My brethren, you see what he says? Count it, consider it, visualize it, conceptualize it as what? All joy. So it's not only joy, but it's all joy. It's joy from top to bottom, first to last, front to back, and back to front. It's all a way that we see these things. It's how we learn to see these things. I thought about just preaching this point this morning, but I'm going to go ahead and preach the whole sermon, and I'll shorten this point up. Thursday of this week, I had the best meal I have had with a couple in my 30-plus years of pastoring. And the person's mother knows this because I've already talked to her. I knew that Laura Penetrante, well, it's not Penetrante. What is it now? And Dante were in town for a few days. So I'd called Laura this because I didn't have their number. And I said, Laura, are they going to be around? And she said, yes. So we were going to get Wednesday, and then it was Thursday, which was fine. And nobody could go with me. I wanted Jenny to go. She couldn't go. Amy couldn't go. So it was just me, Dante, and Laura. And I don't call her Laura. I call her Blondie. And I call her Blondie for very specific reasons. Because in high school, Laura acted like a blonde bimbo. And you say, you're being cruel. Ask her. I always called her blondie. I said, why are you acting like you don't have any brains? Why are you acting like you're cabeza hueca or walang utak? Why do you act like you have no brains? You're acting like a blonde bimbo. I still call her blondie. By the way, it made me angry because she's very smart. So we meet. We meet up at Los Naranjos in Zion. We sit down for a good meal and we start talking. I want to read this to you because the entire time I had three or four thoughts. First thought was this, who is this? Second thought was, why are some people unhappy their whole life? Laura Penetrante, whatever her last name is now, I've seen more change in her more than any human I've ever met. Now, I'm not making any comments about her spiritual life. I'm talking about as a human. Did you hear what I said? Some people, if I see them this year, they're going to be the same person they were 20 years ago. And here's Laura. So I'm going to read what I wrote down. We had a nice meal. Smile the entire time. I kept calling her Blondie. I talked to her and Dante about how she used to struggle in school. Folks, she ran away multiple times. She caused Dave and Lourdes more problems than any one person has ever caused their parents in this church. You know what she said to me? She said to her husband, too. She says, I have no idea why I did that. Well, I do. You're stupid when you're a teenager. That's part of it. I watch them. They're obviously in love with each other. Blondie is a good mother? I'm like, who is this girl? But that's not what blew me away. She said this to me. She says, I love Okinawa. 99% of the military in Okinawa, if you meet them today, what are they doing? Complaining! She says, I love Okinawa. Are you the same person I used to know? She said this to me. I even love South Dakota. South where? There's nothing in South Dakota you want to see it as you're driving through. She says, yeah, this is her words. There's so much to do in Okinawa. And I'm like, have you informed 99% of the military that's complaining every single day of their life? I'm asking a question. Yeah, she says, we get to go to Japan, we've been to here, we've been to there, we do this. The kids like to travel, the kids are fun. She said this, Dante said, yeah, and I get to see the kids and my wife almost every week at work. They come into work, and I'm just like, who are you people? Do you listen to people talk? They are never happy. They're going to be happy. Someday. No, they're not, because wherever you go, you're there. So I talked to Dante. He's smiling. He's doing well. I said, how are you doing in the Air Force? I said, are you going to stay? I didn't know exactly. He's been in about 5+ years. Now, do you know anything about the Air Force? Is it easy to get rate? He's already in E6. He's ready to make E7. Who are you? Are you that little guy that I remember? Oh, come on. He said this. He said something to me that was so beautiful. He said, we have a saying, but I think most military guys don't have this saying. He says, this is what we say. Embrace the suck. Which means every place you go, there are things that suck. Embrace it and enjoy everything else. Folks, I got done with that, and then I thought to myself, I have people that have been in this church almost my entire length of time being here, and you're so unhappy, it shows in every single person you touch. And you have one little trial, and you're bitter, and you're angry, and you're falling apart. You don't know what to do with yourself. You and I must start someplace. We must see things differently. Laura and her husband, Dante, see things differently than most military people. When are you going to start doing it? I've had kids in my Bible class say, this is the most boring place on earth to live. And I'm like, you live in Chicagoland area, one of the great cities on earth. What do? Oh, you stay at home and play video games. Well, of course you're bored. Who wouldn't be? Lord, this, did I already tell you all this? Yes? I walked away with that realizing something. By God's grace, some people can grow. And other people stay right where they always have been. Griping, complaining, criticizing, gossiping. You say you have some trouble. Folks, unless you learn to put some different glasses on, you're always going to be where you were. You got to do what? Count it all joy. Count doesn't mean to count numbers. It means to conceptualize or visualize. So my way of saying it is simply this. We must see things differently. That's how we look at things. So when we have our problems, how do we look at them? Do we look at them as the world has ended? Or do we look at them as opportunities to move forward? Lord, this and Dave, the thing that shocked me the most is when Dante is excelling in the United States Air Force. He's not only doing okay, he's doing this. And they're both that way. Wow. Look back in your Bibles, please. I have lots more stories to tell, but if you didn't get it from that point, you're not going to get it from any point. Look at me, please. What do you see? What do you see? Something to take care of your phone? Or do you start to see adobo and lechon and sinigang? Or how do you say it, Pondok? I always say it wrong. Sinigang. What do you see when you see that? I'll tell you what I see. One day in heaven, you that don't like potatoes, it's going to be growing on that tree with the 12, and you're going to be big too, so you better get used to it. Look at chapter 1 and verse 3, please. By the way, I got to say something about somebody else in here. You know, I don't like him, but I like his family. Rolando. Rolando is so funny. I don't care what he's eating, he sees a taco. There's not even any tortillas. He sees a taco. You know, it is funny. It's a way of seeing things, isn't it? Hey, can you see the joy in life? Can you see the joy in trials? If you can't, from the rest of the sermon, just go to sleep. Because if you can't start with the joy, you'll never get to point 2, point 3, and point 4. Because it all begins with how you see things. Visualize, conceptualize things. Oh, got so many problems. Wow. All right, number 2, verse 3. So we begin by, my brethren, count it all joy. We must see things differently, or visualize or conceptualize things differently, as joy, not as problems. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh, you know, it's constantly in the process of bringing forth patience or endurance. This is hupomone, which means the idea of enduring the struggles of life. So number 1 is, this is where we must begin. We must begin with seeing things differently, cognitively seeing things differently, organizing them in our mind differently, conceptualizing them differently, visualizing them differently. And then number 2, we must understand things supernaturally. And when I say supernaturally, I'm not trying to be spooky. What I'm trying to say is, when you're down, and boy, now this is a beautiful platform, but I cannot walk straight down because, well, I could, but then I might slip, and then who's going to pick me up? Let's make this simple. When I say you must understand, look at me please, things supernaturally, I'm not being weird. This is not, you know, a charismatic service. It's this simple. When you're down in the midst of the muck and the trials, one of your problems is you don't understand things well. Stuff is coming at you. So in some way, by the way, look at me, long time before the trials happen, you got to get an understanding of not down here, but up. God's perspective. You've got to start understanding things from God's perspective. So we not only need to see things differently, he says knowing. You know some things, but they're not the normal stuff down here. They're God's perspective on the trials. So read the verse with me, please. Knowing this, that the trying or testing of your faith produces something. Endurance. So once you start seeing things differently, then you're able to understand from God's perspective things supernaturally. We not only see things differently, we understand or know things supernaturally. We're not weird, we're not strange, we have God's perspective. The trying or the testing of our faith produces something: endurance, steadfastness. Patience with circumstances is the idea. We're going to do this. Proverbs chapter 3. Would you look there, please? Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to give you a handful of these. Friend, here's our problem. When the tests begin, it's too late. It's too late because you're in the muck. You're in the mud. It's too late to say, I wonder what God has to say about this. It's way too late to be panicking. These are the things you learn before you get out in the muck. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 11, please. My son, despise not thou the what? So when God brings you through tests and trials, don't despise the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction, meaning don't faint or quit when you're corrected. Why? He tells you this is God's perspective. For whom the Lord hates. Right? Look at me, friend. Do you not understand in the midst of the problems what you should? Hey, you should already know when I am struggling, that means God loves me. And when God allows problems, that's part of his love. For whom the Lord loveth. For whom the Lord loveth. He correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth. Let's look at the previous book, Psalm 76. We're going to look at these verses. You might want to write them down, but you know, who cares? Maybe you can do all this on your own. Maybe you can survive without having God's perspective. But I cannot. When I go through trials, I want to be able to see things differently than an unsaved person. I also want to be able to understand things supernaturally. So when I have trials and troubles and difficulties and testing, well, I know that that means God loves me. That's a comfort to me. Psalm 76 and verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. So the worst things that can happen are ultimately going to bring praise to God. The remainder of wrath shall thou restrain or wrap up. Romans chapter 8. Let's look there, please. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We'll look at several verses in Romans. Romans chapter 8. And friend, there's no limit to what we can know. How much should we know? I always think of younger Christians. If you're a younger Christian here, here's what you ought to know. Everything. If you're an old deadhead, been sleeping through life for 40 years, go ahead and sleep. But if you're a younger Christian, you want to know everything, because when you're going through trials, you better have a pretty good grip on things from God's perspective. Romans 8:18. Here's Paul using similar language. For I reckon, or I come to this conclusion, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So Paul acknowledges we're going to go through some things. But when you compare it to eternity, it's incomparable. It's a little bitty problem for a short period of time, and that is eternal. So I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are what? are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 28. Everybody knows verse 28. It's verse 29 we don't know. I want to ask you all a question. Please look up here when you find it. You found verse 28. Everybody knows verse 28. Everybody loves verse 28. Why don't we quote verse 29? Because look at me, friend. All things do work together for them that love God and them who are the called according to his purpose. But you better ask yourself a question. What is God's purpose for you? Is God's purpose for you just to be saved and go to heaven someday when you die? Well, that's not what the text says. So let's read with me, would you? Verse 28 first. And we know, by the way, we're back to that knowledge that's supernatural. We know from God's perspective that all things, all these different things that come at us, work together, meaning in and of themselves they're not good, but they work together with the result of good. Work together for good. To them, it describes a believer two ways, to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. But what's his purpose? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the image of his son. Look at me, friend. I know this. God is not necessarily interested in you having a happy life. He's interested in you being like Christ. So he will send you through problems. Me too. He has purposes. And his big purpose on earth is to make us like Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Ooh, I remember the day I learned these verses. And at first, they're just kind of offensive. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 says this, "For our light affliction..." You're like, "Pastor, my problems aren't small." Well, they are comparatively, which is but for a moment. So he says our afflictions are really comparatively light, and they're only for a moment, short period of time. "Worketh for us," again, we're back to that "worketh" again, "produces for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." So what is being produced through our trials is something that is eternal and something that is heavy. Our trials comparatively are light and they're short. And they produce in us, by God's grace, that which is weighty and that which is eternal. Verse 18. We're back to looking again. See, we're back to how we see things. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." James chapter 1 and verse 3. Let's look back there, please. I have said, all I'm doing is just unpacking and recognizing the three commands in this text. The first command, or the idea of the command, is count it all joy. We must see things differently. We must see things from God's perspective. We should look at life in a happy way, knowing God is in control and God is bringing me through many things. And I'm going to fall in the middle of tests, tribulations, trials, and temptations. But that shouldn't be an unhappy thing. It should be a happy thing. It means God loves me and other things. I also got to know something. I got to know a whole lot of things. Can you imagine going to see your doctor? And you have a serious problem and your doctor looks at you and says, "You know, I'm sorry. When I studied this part of medicine, I got an F. I asked you a question. You know, I remember when I was in Bible college, it was a simple thought to me. I thought, I'm going to one day be a pastor. I would hate to think that I'm a pastor getting up to preach and I'm going to preach, and I got C's and D's in Bible college. It's like going to your surgeon, and you need brain surgery. And the surgeon says, "You know, I've never done this before, but I'd like to practice. Did you take it in school?" "No, I failed that class, but I think I can do it." Can I ask the sleepy heads here? I'm going to ask you a simple question. When is it that you think this Christian life becomes yours? How much do you want to know? I want to know everything I can from God's perspective, because life gets pretty ugly. And frankly, life might be ugly for me. There's no guarantee. Sam's wondering why we've had people die. Sam, I got bigger problems than that. Because, you know, underneath the surface of a lot of people are all kinds of things going on. Anytime you have a church. Well, let's look at verse 3. This is the third piece. But it has to be done in order. We must see things differently. We must know or understand things supernaturally. We need to get God's information about life. And thirdly, we must accept things. There's a place where you come to accept or embrace, but I'm going to use words that don't fit together. We must accept things actively. Look what verse 4 says. But let this, let. Do you know what the word let means? Allow, permit. But let. So it kind of indicates that it's possible for us to stop the process and never move on to maturity. But we must come to the place where we can accept or embrace things actively, where we choose to allow God to keep working in our life, learning the things we need to learn, being honed, because he says, but let or allow or permit patience, endurance to have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, meaning in the sense of mature and entire, wanting or lacking nothing. Everything is in place. The third step, after we see things differently and understand things supernaturally, is we come to accept things actively. So we're not just passively accepting life, we're actively embracing the problems of life. When I was a young man, I had to do something I don't like. Do you ever do things you don't like? Look at me. Where you go in life always comes down to one thing. Do you do things you don't like? I'll say it once again. Do you hear me? If you're willing to do things you don't like, you'll go someplace. If you're not, you're not going anyplace. One of the things I hated the most was drawing blood on a little child. If you come to me right now, I can draw blood on you in a New York second. A little child, I don't like to draw blood on a little child. Do you know why? Because little children don't like their blood drawn. And it's very difficult to draw blood on a little child because the little child feels pain in the little... Folks, how many times have I done this? How many times have I seen a little child sit in the chair and they take the lid, the little thing that swivels either this way or this way, it locks in place, the little child puts its arm there, they put the tourniquet around the arm, they stick the little child, and what's the little child do? And when they draw back, blood, it goes every place. Oh, I have so many techniques to try to help a little child. I'd set a little child down if they're old enough. You know, 21-year-olds. Because nobody, does anybody like to get poked? I don't think anybody likes it. But you set the little child down and I say, now listen, let's talk. All I want you to do is remember, I know what I'm doing. We have to take this tube of blood. But if you hold really still, it will, and then I pinch them. And I pinch them hard, right here. And I say, the most it will hurt is that much. Can you try to hold still? You say, does that work? If the child, some children, yes, you can kind of reason with them. And they will hold still, and I'm very good, and I'd stick them, get the blood, and be done. But some of them, blood starts squirting. I don't even want to, some of you will pass out. I've had children do this. You're holding the tube, you stick it in, they pull back, and then they do this. And they do it so fast, you don't have time to move the needle. All because, look at me in the eyes, all because of what? They cannot let, permit. Hello? They don't trust. My friend, there's a piece of life where you and I are going to have to come to the place where we can, look at me, embrace tests, trials, temptations actively, where we can say, I'm pretty sure God has my best interests in mind. What do you think? Is it easy? Oh, Rolando, I saw you looking over there. You know, I was a med tech as a corpsman. I remember taking kids. This is my favorite. This is child. It's probably child abuse. You bring the child, set them on your lap. Lock them in. Take your leg, wrap it around their legs. Take your arm, wrap it around their arms. And take the arm that's going to be drawn and hold it out. They're screaming their head off. But by the way, that's the only way you can get their what? My friend, in life, what does James say? Would you read the text? But let, allow, permit patience to have her what? If you shortchange things, the process never gets finished. You got to do it. Here's what I find. Some people, the moment they have a problem, they run just like a little kid. And they short-circuit the process, and therefore they never become mature adults. They're always back there in the childhood stage. Have you done that before, Rolando? Wrap them up. Is it child abuse? I don't know, but somehow you got to draw their blood. Put a board. Yeah, we've done everything. Everything under the sun. You say, would you draw my child's blood? The answer is absolutely not. I'm a grandfather now. Only thing I'll do for your children is chocolate. I hate the thought. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 29, would you? Proverbs 29 is the opposite of what James is saying. By the way, are you recognizing I'm teaching you the Bible? Are you hearing Scripture this morning? Or do you think we're just having a pleasant conversation? See, friend, we're so used to talking, we don't even know, recognize. The Scripture commands you to count it all joy. That's the first step, seeing things or visualizing or conceptualizing things differently. Then it tells us we got to know some things or understand some things from God's perspective, supernaturally. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience or endurance. But then we move on to accepting, or I like the word embracing because it's more active. Embracing these things actively. The opposite is found in Proverbs 29:1. He or she, that being often reproved, does what? Do you know what it means? By the way, your neck doesn't get hard. Do you all know what an animal does that doesn't want to draw back? One of the tragedies is when I preach. I remember years ago, probably 22 years ago, preaching on my favorite subject. Some of you will be out of town, so you don't have to hear it. Thanksgiving, my favorite time of the year. And seeing a person right about where Tim is, the neck. Because thankfulness is not something they do. And I'm like, that means all of these years I've been drawn back when I should be embracing. I should be embracing it. Last week before, Steve Tupper's son, Preston, graduated from boot camp. And what do you say, Steve? Amen? My favorite part was how happy he looked. Because I remember the day I graduated from boot camp, just thinking you survived was a great feat. I'm out. But when I went to boot camp, you know what my father told me? I had two men give me counsel, Steve. I didn't give the counsel to your son. I just encouraged him to know they're going to mess with your head. They're going to yell at you, scream at you. You just do what you're supposed to do. My dad said two things to me when I went to boot camp. I would say the same to you right now. Shut up and do what they tell you to do. Is that good counsel? The other one came from a fellow, my best friend's dad, Coke Dunham. He said, military is mind over matter. They don't mind and you don't matter. He says, if you understand that, you'll do very well in life. Can I tell you, here's the good news, friend. God loves you. But you have to, look at me, you have to quit drawing back every time something hurts your feelings. I don't like that. Because if you keep doing that, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. You see, there's a process to this. And if every time someone says, you just keep, you're going to be the same stunted person 30 years later. Friend, we should be growing. We shouldn't harden the neck. We should embrace what God has for us. Can I have an amen? Or would you prefer to every time God does something, you do the neck thing? Look at me. How do those kind of guys do in boot camp? They don't usually make it. They get sent home. Bye-bye. James chapter 1, and we're done. There are four pieces to this puzzle. Now, here's the bad news. If you don't get the first one, the other three don't count. Because in reality, how you see things is going to determine everything else. So when he says, my brethren, count it all joy, he's saying, this is how I want you to see or to conceptualize what you're going through. See things differently. Verse 3, knowing. You have to know or understand things supernaturally. Not in some weird way, but from God's perspective. How God looks at life. That the trying of your faith is doing something. It's working endurance or patience. And then you have to do this. You have to embrace. We must embrace things actively. But let it, allow it, permit it to have a perfect work. That you may be what God wants you to be. Perfect. And all parts are there. Nothing is missing. Verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Lastly, we must pray through things dependently. At the end of the process, not at the beginning of the process. At the end of the process, not at the beginning of the process. We start then asking God for wisdom as we move through. Pray through things dependently. If you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God won't rebuke you in any way or antagonize you, and it shall be given you, him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavers, which simply means don't be willy-nilly here. Get your course set and pray through things dependently. Well, look up here and we're finished. When I see this stuff, that's real good when my phone fell in the water. When some of you see a potato, you have no idea what to do with the potato. Look at me in the eyes. It's all according to how you see things. How do you see things? How do you see things? Let me ask you a second question. What do you know? Do you know the Scripture? Do you know the Scripture so when you're going through the trials of life, you know? Look at me. Are you one of these kids that every time we got to... I can still hear kids screaming. That's okay when you're 3. It's not okay when you're 60. And how about this? When you conclude, then it's time to say, Lord, through this process, I need wisdom. So we pray through these things, dependent 100% on God to give us insight, strength, and help. That's how we face the trials of life. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Speak to us.